local.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
We are back. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. here on a Monday. Case of the Mondays, as Nate said. Even though the sun is coming out, it was dreary earlier this morning, but it's starting to melt away, and that's nice to see as we check in on the Sacramento Kings. We've been pretty hard on the Kings, but you know what? Someone's got to do it.
Mm-hmm. They deserve it, too.
Right.
You know, it's not our fault.
This is not, you know... Not, you know, Homer Radio.
Exactly. I was like,
gummy bears and gumdrops. What do you want from us, man?
I would much rather have it be this way than, you know, I feel like people just naturally are going to think, oh, you guys are the radio affiliate. So, you know, we're going to come here and you guys are going to talk about moral victories how
you did, but
only when it's fitting. But, you know, and that's why, again, that's why, you know, that's why you come to this program right here if you want the God honest truth. Because I'll tell you when it's time to moral victory and when it's time to straight bash these guys. And right now, they deserve a good bashing.
Straight bash, homie.
I got a quick question for both of you. Do you think the starting lineup changes permanently before the All-Star break? And it could be any change. Not because of injury or anything, but Mike Brown makes a call and there's a change happening. And what would that be?
I think Kevin Huerter is definitely on life support.
Yeah, target number one.
Yeah, I think that's the most obvious spot to kind of look at right now. It's just, I mean, it's much more a question of how much longer would he have to really struggle at this level for that to be an actual thing that happens.
Well, when you make a change like that too, you got to stick with it.
You got to stick with it. Yeah.
This is a big argument as well, like who's finishing the game, because you catch Malik finishing the game a lot, but he's never going to start.
No, exactly. And I don't know if Malik will ever get the start just because Mike is just so adamant about him coming off the bench and how he likes him fitting into that role. I really do truthfully think that if anything were to happen in the starting lineup, it would probably be Duarte added. And, you know, maybe if things get crazy, like maybe Colby Jones is thrown into the starting lineup at some point if he really, really continues to shine. Because I just don't think he'll ever budge off of Malik coming off the bench.
I don't think that's good for the Kings, though. If we're talking, and we're not doing Beaming or Dreaming today, but if we're talking Beaming or Dreaming, unless you think that Colby Jones is just going to be the next coming of whoever.
Tabo Cephalosha, right, honestly. He would have to bring some sort of defensive presence.
That's the deal, right? Duarte and Colby Jones in that starting lineup does not spell getting to the second round.
I mean, I think the problem with throwing Malik into the starting lineup is, I'll use a baseball example, so maybe it'll be more digestible. Mm-hmm. It's like if you have a really strong 1-6, but then your 7-9 is just trash. Like, I don't want the Kings to get to that point where, yeah, like their starting lineup is great and like, you know, they can outscore anybody, but then once the bench comes in, there's not quite that pop. There's not that fire. It just clearly goes from, okay, we're ascending to, all right, now we're just trying to hold the lead until the starters can come back in. And I think that's where Malik is really, again, I think that's where Mike really likes having Malik, is that starting lineup is when they're hitting shots. I mean, Herter's hitting shots, Keegan's hitting shots. You know, HB's a threat, and then you have Dieran and Domas as well. Oh, yeah. They should be able to provide enough offense, and then Malik can kind of keep that offense afloat, and that's kind of how they got the recipe last year of scoring the most points in the NBA. So it kind of depends on if they're going to change their identity. I think if they want to continue to just boat race teams and, again, be the highest scoring team in the NBA, I think Malik coming off the bench isn't changing. But if they maybe want to shift to a different style, we've seen recently they're playing a lot more slow paced. Mm-hmm. Maybe that lends itself to Malik more in the starting lineup. I don't know.
You got the Rockets tonight, the Blazers on Wednesday, then the Kings come home for their first in-season tournament game against the Thunder. I would say if they lose to the Blazers with or without De'Aaron, something is going to get changed.
Everybody's up to a whole line change
like hockey. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Mike, who wants to talk Kings. What's up, Mike? You're on Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. Great. What you got for us?
All right. Oh, I just wanted to piggyback off of the Malik Monk coming off the bench. He is – the way I look at it, a scoring machine, right? Not so much of a good defensive player, but someone who you can count on to come off the bench, because you have starters for a reason, right? They're there. They're the best player on the team. You can plug someone in there, like the like you said earlier, Duarte or you know, whomever, and they'll still be able to do their thing. But when Malik comes in, he's that spark plug we need off the bench. Kind of like Ginobili was for, you know, the San Antonio Spurs. You know, coming in, he accepted his sixth role, you know, position, six-man role, and came in and just did his thing. And that's what I believe Malik Monk is to us.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to say.
No, great call, Mike. Great call. Yeah, and I think that's how it's supposed to work.
Right. He's truly the leader of the second unit.
Yes. Now, if what happens when the starters –
aren't pulling their weight.
So the whole thing about you need to pop off the bench.
Yeah.
Cool, but you don't want Malik coming in and they're already down 10.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want that either. Yeah. That's the tough part of this. And I don't even know how much, you know, when De'Aaron comes back, what that would look like playing with Malik. I know they play together a decent bit throughout the course of the game anyway. But, you know, it's – I don't know if that's the – direction I would go. I think I like Malik off the bench as well. But at this point, but with De'Aaron not playing, I would think about it.
I would definitely think about it, because I was going to say the other problem is with Malik starting next to De'Aaron is Malik is the backup point guard. Like, he's the backup playmaker. So you kind of need him to almost play when De'Aaron's not out there. Mm-hmm. But to your point, if De'Aaron's not going to be out there and if he's going to continue to not be out there, it kind of does start to make a lot of sense to have Malik out there just to kind of play the De'Aaron Fox role, like, you know, almost being that the practice squad quarterback almost in a way, where it's like, hey, Malik, just go out there and do a De'Aaron Fox impression, whatever that looks like on your end. And I think he would be able to do it. And I think it would be an interesting step in Malik Monk's development. Like, I don't really think we think, you know, when we think of guys getting better, we talk a lot about Keegan and we talk, of course, about De'Aaron, but we never really talk about the fact that Malik is in De'Aaron's draft class and is still as young as De'Aaron is, and he's still improving as well and has room to grow. I could see that being maybe a new step in Malik's progression is him being like a true backup quarterback almost and a backup point guard and really embracing that role and just being a second starter. I think that takes a lot of pushing ego aside and understanding and accepting your role. But I think Malik is somebody who, just in general, I think we can both agree the Kings need a better and more utilized Malik Monk, however that is, and whoever else is playing. I think Malik has to be on the floor for 30 minutes a night.
Right. And I think that it kind of combines itself together, because I don't think you should need Malik on the floor that much.
No.
So if you continue to need Malik on the floor that much, that means Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray are still not
pulling their weight. Yeah.
Right. So I get why it makes sense, but I would just prefer, as I think most people would, that the guys that and here's the thing. You're putting a lot on a second year player on Keegan Murray. And
Tons.
We can talk about this later in the show as well. Are we putting too much on Keegan Murray? In my opinion, it is time to talk about a sophomore slump.
Yeah.
Now, you get out of a slump whenever, right? Whenever he starts playing well, he's out of the slump. But as of right now, he is in a sophomore slump.
Yeah, and I think maybe a part of that might be I haven't really been through a sophomore, watched someone go through a true sophomore slump before, and I think you just hear the term and it's like, oh, he just sucks his second year. It doesn't really have anything to do with where he's at in his development. It's just, okay, he was good year one, and then year two, for whatever reason, wasn't as easy, didn't click. But I think the difference is we're just kind of seeing, like, I have an excuse. I have a reason for why Keegan's hitting his sophomore slump. Doesn't change the fact that he's still in a sophomore slump, if that makes sense.
Right, and it's not
like
about...
we can logic and reason ourselves out of it and talk about the why he's in a sophomore slump. But it doesn't change the fact that he is slumping.
Yes, and it's offensively, because defensively he's better than he was last season. He's just trying to figure all these things out. Got to get to a break when we get back. Checking in on the Kings 5 games in, and let's just say it's pretty darn average.
It's mid.
It's very mid, as the kids say. Thank you for that, Chris. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Take you up to 2 p.m. Doesn't really feel like a Monday now that we're going here. Feels like we're flying by. And that's how it should feel. Time flies when you are having fun. Not having a ton of fun as we kind of bash the Kings, but I mean, when keeping it real goes right.
Exactly.
That's what I like to say.
It's fun to gossip.
It is.
It's fun to talk trash about somebody.
And by the way, speaking of gossiping, a little bit later in the show, let's see here, 12:45, everyone's favorite segment, the trade generator, comes back out. I've literally been, and I've spent not a ton of time here in Sacramento and Natomas, when I've talked to different people around town, and I say, oh yeah, I do Stiles and Watkins, they literally have told us that trade generator conversation, that's the one. So we're bringing it back, everybody's favorite.
Trades.
People love trades, so we're bringing that back, 12:45, won't want to miss that. 1:30, Emil Fragoso will join us, Niners reporter for Sacktown Sports, talking all things Niners. I am seeing the video now as we go to different breaks on social media. Chase Young is out there, already
out there.
Talking with Nick Bosa, already getting on the same page, already sharing different tips and tricks. I mean, this is going to be something else. What's up, Nate?
He shot me a little text to a little update from Niners
Chase
practice.
Young did?
Me and Chase Young. I didn't want to, you know.
Yeah, you spoil,
I didn't want to rub it in your guys' face or whatever. But sources are saying, Emil is saying Debo's playing or practicing. Trent Williams not practicing.
Interesting.
Man.
So,
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I wondered at the beginning of the year, too, is like, is Trent Williams honestly the one that just can't get hurt for the Niners?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with him being hurt in or getting hurt in that Browns game, and that kind of also being the start of this little slip here. Obviously, you know, Debo and McCaffrey also got hurt in that game, so it's kind of hard to pinpoint specifically what it is. But I still feel like Trent Williams was the thing that turned that shaky offensive line into something that wasn't really too big of a concern.
Right.
And if he's not going to be there long term, which who knows? I mean, you know, yeah, he's coming back from injury, but you know, with a guy who's in the advanced age, we'll say, as Trent Williams, health is not guaranteed, is what I would say. So it will be interesting to see if Trent Williams doesn't go and everybody else is healthy, how it looks. How much closer are they back to normal, or are they still a Trent Williams away from being a really good team? I think I just think that, you know, a lot was made of Bosa and Warner and their importance to the defense, but in many ways, I definitely think Trent Williams is just as important, if not more important, than anybody else.
Well, and also it gives you a look into the future. I mean, Trent Williams is to the point now where we don't know how much longer he's going to play anyway.
Right. Period.
And there's only one Trent Williams, so you can say, okay, very specific to this season, but also, again, not to get on Brock or just to get on the team in general. Are you only a well-oiled machine when everything is working, right?
And like you said, just in general, like, Bill's going to come due at some point.
Exactly.
You know, Brock's going to need to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Ayuk's got to get paid. And with that, people are going to have to go. And you're going to have to make the decision of, again, like, which Jenga pieces can you continue to pull and have that structure still stand. I think they've even found that you take that D'Amico Ryans Jenga piece out, and it's not very easy to keep the base solid when you're starting to pull from the bottom now at this point. You know, it's the Niners are at an interesting inflection point here, and I think obviously this season is incredibly important. But I think we're seeing as the season kind of goes on, and as these stories are building up, and as they continue to add more and more pieces, it just feels more and more like the window is getting tighter and tighter for when this thing needs to finally come together.
Right. You're playing Jenga. You don't have to go to any of the sketchy pieces yet.
Not yet.
But you know it's around the corner.
Yeah, you know, you're just tapping them.
You're
hoping
it falls.
You know how you, like, sometimes you got to test the integrity
for
of
later,
them?
For later. For later in the game.
Where's the loose tee?
It doesn't fall yet. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great point because, you know, just looking at this Niners team and everything that they've kind of had going on, and it was all fine and dandy when everything was going right. And taking it to the Eagles have dealt with some issues as well. And now Dallas Goddard, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but
I think he's out for 4 weeks.
Looked to me like his arm was bleeding.
It looked to me like his forearm got snapped.
Looked
kind of borderline dirty.
Yeah.
Like it looked like you remember when Kelly Olynyk dislocated Kevin Love's shoulder?
Right.
It was a little bit of that where it felt like some arm tugging was happening and maybe
something was going on.
Twisting,
it
some
bending.
It did
not look great. So everybody's dealing with it. It's just a matter of whether or not you can persevere. And right now, the Niners have not won an ugly game.
Nope.
Right? They've won when everything, when the weather is
when
good.
When they can score 30.
I'm not calling them the Dolphins, okay, because they did beat the Cowboys. But
a lot of
since
the same DNA, though.
It's a front runner, Mike McDaniel, right? What can you
do? Team structure built pretty similar as well.
When the Rams game was kind of ugly week two.
Sure. They also didn't have Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
You know.
They did have those other, you know, Puka looks pretty good. But yeah, the defense was the issue until the very end when Stafford just was worn down, I think.
Stafford.
He hadn't turned the ball over yet.
Exactly. He was dicing that game. He
100%.
He was Fruit Ninja that game. That's what was going on. But unfortunately.
Shut up, Fruit Ninja, man. What a time.
That was great. What a time to be alive. And it's a time to be alive if you are part of the Beam regime. Shout out to the Sacramento Kings as we check in on what the Kings got going on. Five games in. Chris, you got some numbers for us to go through as we look at what they have been doing.
So I don't know if we're going to do this. I think we're going to try and do it every five games, but Mike Brown likes to talk about the season in increments of five. Mm-hmm. He likes to say that they're a bunch of five-game series that they try and, you know, have a winning record at the end of those five games. Of course, the Kings did not have a winning record at the beginning of these five games, 2-3 record so far, sitting at 15th in offensive rating, 109.9 points per 100 possessions. Defensive rating, sitting at 14th. 110.9 points per 100 possession, and points per game, just flat out points per game, they're sitting 15th at 113.2 points per game. Did you notice anything about those numbers? Again, 15th in offensive rating, 14th in defensive rating, 15th in points per game.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, they've just been a very average team, and obviously being average, You're not bad.
You're definitely not great.
You're not in the elites, and you're going to end up being near 500. And of course, the Kings are on the bottom side of 500. But if you're going to be not good at anything, you're going to find out that you're just going to be probably a 39 win team. And so, I think, like we said, the Kings are much like the Niners. The Kings are kind of at this inflection point where they need to establish an identity here really soon, because last year the identity was clearly the offense was out of this world and the defense was bad. The Kings now they've improved the defense, but the offense has slipped for the missed shots and De'Aaron not being there. Tons of reasons why the offense hasn't looked the same as it has last year, but if they want to win games, they have to figure out what their identity is going to be, and being good at everything, being a jack of all, master of none, it's not going to get you far in the NBA. So the Kings either need to figure out their offensive problems or step it up even more so on the defensive end. And I think we know which way is probably easier for the Kings to lead. But so far throughout the season, it's just been very clear the Kings have not been able to establish really anything for their team.
You get De'Aaron Fox back.
Yeah.
Right. And this is we're basically looking at a C. They are a C grade is what I'm seeing, because they're right in the middle.
Yep.
Right? They're about average. So
had
C
some good
is
wins.
Average.
They maybe, beat the Lakers.
Maybe a C plus.
It's a big win.
Maybe
but
a
you
C
lose
plus.
To the Warriors twice.
Yeah.
You lose to the Rockets. It's not great.
Yeah, that Rockets got to that's gotta knock you back down to a C.
That's not great.
I can't give you a C plus for that. And, you know, we talked a little bit about Keegan. We've been talking about Kevin Huerter. Everybody wants to throw these guys in the trade generator, which we will do at 12:45. And my question is this. What happens if there's some combination of...
Combination.
What happens if there's some combination of Keegan Murray just being off this year, right? Or Kevin Huerter just being off all year, right? So let's say either one guy returns to form and the other guy does not, vice versa, or neither of them are as good as they were last season, and it was basically the equivalent of one guy having a really good season. Do we just mail it in at that point? That's how important both these guys are.
I mean, it's really tough for me to call off Keegan yet, because kind of like what we were saying, like it almost feels like he's doing so much now that if you really wanted to, you could peel back some of the things you're asking him to do and just say, be the guy you were last year, and I could see how maybe just simplifying everything for him would return him back to form. Kevin Huerter, I think, might fall victim to the Kings' depth. So I don't necessarily know if we should just call the patient dead necessarily, the patient being the Kings, because I think that's kind of what they were banking on, not necessarily Kevin specifically, but anybody on this team regressing by bringing in Sasha and by bringing in Chris Duarte and, you know, maybe Colby Jones even at this point can be thrown into that equation. I think the Kings have other guys that can hopefully step in to what Kevin is being asked to do and should be able to produce at a pretty respectable level. So if both of them are going to suck, that's going to be really tough for the Kings to overcome. But if it's going to be specifically Kevin Huerter that struggles, I think they can find enough patchwork to where they should be able to find some stability somewhere with someone on the roster who's already on the roster. The problem with if Keegan struggles, there's just nobody else built like him on the roster. They don't have any 6'8", 6'9 guy who can shoot and can frankly fill a starting role. I mean, if Keegan can't do that this year, they're screwed unless Harrison Barnes steps up and fills that gap, which I think we don't expect him to do. I think Keegan's the one that you really need to circle and say, if these numbers don't improve, then the Kings aren't going to be the team they were last year. And I think it's kind of that simple. And you could have probably figured that out during the preseason by how much we were talking about the improvement of Keegan Murray kind of being banked in to the Kings' success for this year. It was just Keegan's going to take this massive leap, and it's in turn going to turn the Kings into an even better team. But if Keegan not only doesn't make a leap, but isn't the guy he was last year, and it is in fact worse than he was last year, that's how you regress.
Yeah, and it's a gamble. It's a gamble to put that much on a second-year player and just hoping that not only will he not have a sophomore slump, he'll have a kind of some sophomore stardom, and he'll take that next step, I think was quite the gamble, and we'll see if it pays off for them. It's still early to tell. The question I have for you as we get to a break is, how long would you wait before telling Keegan, hey, let's peel back some of those things and just focus on just focus on you offensively? Don't answer that now. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will finish checking in on the Kings 5 games in. Talked about their ratings offensively, defensively, and their points per game. Let's talk about who the most important King is and the best moment so far this season. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We are back. We are back. There's a...
it's not gone yet.
There is a spider I'm trying to catch. Trying to capture and free after the break here.
Trying to free it.
We'll free you. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Well, now that we're here, what's your list then? You know, I watch Indiana Jones.
Yep.
Snakes don't really bother me.
Really?
I mean, I wouldn't kick it. I wouldn't kick it in of snakes. But, you know, you watch Fear Factor back in the day. Ugh. Arachnophobia. There was one time. One time we got a... I forget where the package was from. But the package showed up. My mom opens it. And I'm pretty sure it was a baby tarantula. And it... We took care of it as you know as we
it
did.
It was just in the box.
It popped out of the box. Or like, no. She didn't have to open the box. It like arrived and like somehow made its way out of the box, and it was the biggest spider I've ever seen.
Somebody, are you guys getting stuff shipped from Australia?
I don't know, man. I don't know what it was. It was huge, and I've seen a lot of spiders in my life.
That's terrifying.
What? So I'm as you know, I take care of the spiders in my household. Not that I enjoy doing it, but I do.
Yeah.
Where are you guys at? Is it spiders? It's not that we see snakes very often besides the golf course. How are you with the spiders? Nate, Chris, how are you with the spiders?
I'm out on everything.
Yeah, yeah. The older I get, the more... I used to be cool with snakes, I guess, but the older I'm getting... I've been having nightmares about rattlesnakes all the time. I've almost stepped on a bunch at, like, the river and stuff, and I'm just out. I'm not... A rattlesnake bit my dog when, like, he was, like, a year old. He's got a big Harry Potter scar on his head.
Poor guy.
Yeah, and we thought he was done for, but he powered through.
But I'm about to get into fishing. Sacramento River, are you saying I need to watch out for snakes as I'm just... chilling?
Yes, 100%. Keep an eye out. You are getting into fishing?
Yes.
I highly recommend Saturday mornings. Listen to a show I produce every Saturday, 5 to 8 a.m.
Okay.
I produce a fishing show here.
All right.
I got a lot of tips on fishing for
I'm going to need them because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm into that. But, you know, out on the snakes, I guess.
Spiders I can handle because, frankly, I don't set them free. I just kind of, they meet my sandal.
What would you rather be stuck in a room with? Let's say it's a 10 by 10 room, two snakes or 10 spiders?
Snakes. It's not even close.
Really? Because I can kill 10 spiders.
Spiders at least can go on the wall.
You know what I'm super out on, and I never really, I mean, there were some in Oakland, and the ones in Oakland, you know, they kind of will boss you around. I can't do the rodents.
I was going to say, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Raccoons? No.
No, no, but I'm saying
mice. Big rats.
Mice, rats, rodents.
Absolutely not.
Can't do it. Mm-mm. Absolutely not. Mm-mm. Completely out on that. Give me 1,000 spiders or
whatever. I'm very willing to give up my house. I'm like, it's theirs now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If there's like three rats, I'm like.
Hey, underneath there, those are the pots and pans over there. I got the seasonings over there.
Rents do the first. Right. Just let y'all know.
Right, right. I'll transfer over, you know, my SMUD account or whatever I need to do.
Just give me cash and I'll send it to the landlord.
You know, Venmo, I take Cash App as well.
Yeah, like, it's just theirs.
I'm out.
For the foreseeable future.
I'm super out on that.
Absolutely not.
I'm not out on the Kings yet, though. Even though it might sound like it as we break down the Kings in that pathetic loss that they had to the Rockets, but they will bounce back. We feel good about it. At least that's the thing. Before a game, you can have all the high hopes in the world. As soon as that ball tips off, it's pessimistic mode.
Yeah, I mean, especially like, I'm expecting them to come out and, like I said, 40-20 first quarter, and then the second that it's like 7-5, I'm like, oh man, looks like they're not going to win this one because they didn't start the game out hot. And it's like, that's the only game script that if it's not going the way that I think it is, then it's going to be a loss. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things though where it feels like just emotionally heading into this game, the Kings just really should have it. Like there's no, I think the Rockets are now the favorite. Oh no, the Kings are still favorites in today's game by 2.5 points, but it just feels like in all elements, everyone should feel like, all right, this is the quintessential. If emotions mean anything, then it should play into this game because there's no way the Kings can lose to the Houston Rockets by 18 points and then come out on Monday in the same building and lay another egg. That's when there's problems.
No.
If the Kings do what they did on Saturday again today, there's problems, and it's not De'Aaron Fox deep. It goes a lot deeper than De'Aaron Fox not being.
You're just an unserious basketball team.
Yeah. No, if that's the case. Yeah.
And, you know, you do something like that, and, you know, obviously after that you got the Blazers, so there are going to be some opportunities here. We sat here talking about the opportunity to sneak, not sneak some games, but, you know, power through and throw some in the win column. Now we're talking about the opposite. I mean, beaming or dreaming, we wouldn't even need a segment anymore.
No. Nope.
We're all dreaming.
We're all dreaming.
We're all on the Z-Quil. We're all on the NyQuil. Come on now. So we'll see what the Kings are able to do as we go through the five-game check-in. And we talked about the offensive rating, defensive rating, and points per game. They are 15th in offensive rating, 14th in defensive rating, 15th in points per game. So they are mid. They are average. Yep. They are C students, which is a C was a 2.0.
C's go to college is what I was
They do.
Saying. D's but get degrees. You know?
A C is a 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's not great. It's not what you're aiming for. You're technically eligible. You're technically athletically eligible. But don't mess up one more time.
You are not eligible.
And it don't matter if it's PE, if your PE goes from an A to a B.
Yeah.
It don't matter. Done. It could just be one little tweak. And,
you're done.
Yeah.
So you had two more you wanted to go through.
Yeah. This is, again, more just a five-game check-in, and I feel like every five games these things can be fluid. So who would you say is the Kings most important? Who would you say is the most important King through these five games?
The answer is Malik Monk.
I think the answer is De'Aaron Fox.
The answer is always going to be De'Aaron Fox.
I don't think so. I think that thing can shift. I think the fact that De'Aaron didn't play the last two games, the both L's, and then De'Aaron averages 30 points per game in the games he did play. You know, yeah, like you said, he could be it every single week. So it feels like this week and to start the season. It feels like his importance has been definitely hammered home early here, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I hear which of the active Kings, I would definitely give it to Malik Monk for sure.
Well, and I think what it is it has to be It has to be De'Aaron because they have not won a game without De'Aaron.
It could also be important on the other way. Like, you could maybe make the counter that Keegan Murray's clearly the most important Kings because if he's making shots, maybe we win these two games and it's as cut and dry as that. So,
yeah. But
just, you know, throw, I would just say throwing Malik. Multiple different.
I would say
just
Malik.
Casting a wide net.
Epic Air Bees says Fox for De'Aaron
for
Fox.
For sure. Gotta be.
That's who he thinks is the most important King right now.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you show, again, the same way that, you know, sometimes the MVP is won when somebody misses games because it, again, shows exactly how bad a team would be if they weren't in there. I think it's very much the case with De'Aaron where it's very evident that, yeah, it's clear when De'Aaron is playing how much the Kings need him, but when he's not out there, it's even more clear and obvious that they're, like you said, I mean, they're kind of, they haven't really been, you know, besides the good effort against Golden State, they really haven't been you can't really take them seriously as a basketball team these past two performances. I mean, even though it was, again, I would give it a moral victory against Golden State, 101 points without your star is not going to get it done on a lot of nights.
Not in this NBA, maybe in the 80s.
Exactly.
Los Angeles Lakers, and I think that's what had us maybe a little bit confused when the Kings were able to beat the Lakers without Sabonis or De'Aaron. Yep. That's looking like a bit of fool's gold. It was only a 5-minute, very short sample size, but the Lakers are 3-3 now, so it's not as if the Lakers are world beaters, I think is my point.
Yeah.
And that
doesn't look as good of a win as what it might have in that moment.
Exactly.
Time.
When the, you know, when that was right off of the Lakers coming off of a win as well. And you have a best moment here.
It's gotta be Malik's dunk. Yeah. It has to be Malik's dunk in game one.
Yes.
It's a shame that it happened the first game of the season, but at the same time, it's something that we'll be able to hold on to for a while. But I think Malik's dunk against Utah is definitely has to be number one. I mean, that thing is still, I would still put it as the dunk of the year so far, even with all these Wemby crazy highlights going on. I still think Malik holds
number
one.
Wemby, it's just, dunks always look best if you are, what, below 6'5"?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Always. Yeah, yeah. It's the Nate Robinson thing.
It's the Nate Robinson thing because it just looks
aesthetically right. You just kick your feet out and it looks higher.
Exactly.
And,
exactly. So it's always going to be that. And Malik Monk, to me, has been the most important guy and that and going to have to be probably tonight, I would say.
So. Yeah.
You know, unless, and every game is an opportunity for either Keegan Murray or Kevin Huerter to break out. And that's why I can sit here and say that offensively, Keegan Murray is in a sophomore slump, and it has nothing to do with the next game.
Mm-hmm.
At any time, you can break out of it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? At any time, you can go back into it. But I think that as of right now, that's what Keegan's dealing with. I think what's crazy is that almost from a free throw standpoint as well, it's so mental right now with Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray. They know how important they are. They know what how much it means every time they pull up and decide to take a shot. And there was a shot, and Kevin Huerter specifically, there was a shot last game where it's still been going on. And I think it's when the Rockets were either down or the Kings were, you know, right behind them. Kevin Huerter, just, you got to think at some point these shots that are going in and out will stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at Keegan and against the Warriors when he's chasing around Steph and straight on shots hitting the side of the rim, something's off. Kevin Huerter is just, I mean, a millimeter away of feeling so much better about himself, but they just will not drop right now.
And in some way, that's almost worse. Not for Kevin the shooter, not for the ability, but just in terms of the pain, it's like, all right, so you're telling me I'm almost doing everything right. It's just ball's not going in. Doesn't like me.
The
right
basketball
now.
Gods That's or whoever so you want to say to try to get right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, it's time. Line them up. You know what time it is. It is time for the trade generator. 916-339-1140. That is the text line, call line, and the YouTube chat. The trade generator returns, and we got some new names for you. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
We are back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. as we talk Kings. Talk a little bit of Niners later. A little bit of Tyler, the Creator, going.
Oh, yeah. This is a throwback.
Nate loves it. We love it. Thank you for listening on this Monday. And look, you talk about Monday. It's almost 1 o'clock already. Show has flown by. You're almost done with your Monday, right? Kind of. You know, you're out of the Monday morningness, so that's good. You are We've pretty close to Monday afternoon, but it does lead you to the worst day of the week, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Tuesday.
But hopefully, you are talking about a W on a Tuesday, and hopefully your Tuesday feels a little bit better because you were looking at a beam all night, which you haven't seen a ton, and I'm still, like I said, I'm just now fully moved in, so baby's first beam. This time I am talking about the baby.
Yeah.
This is my baby.
Yeah, your baby. Time. Your actual child.
Yes, now she's
your offspring.
Now, yes, now I am actually...
Baby Styles, but not baby.
Yes, not you. Baby's first beam, me. Not me. We're talking about the actual baby seeing the beam tonight.
Hope keep track of that.
Hopefully. So, we're talking a lot of things, Kings, and it's time for everybody's favorite segment as we break down, and Chris has it fired up right now.
Yep, I've got it ready.
Le Trade Generator.
All reliable, as some will call it.
All reliable, and there's a new name in here that we want to throw around, and Chris has a lot of feelings about this guy.
I have so many feelings.
And I'm very confused about him.
Why?
Either. I don't feel as strongly as Chris does, but I also don't know what he is as a player, who he is as a player. Obviously, he's extremely talented. And a name that came up from our guy, Matt George.
Shout out, Matt.
We see him at the games. Great dude. Funny guy.
I texted Matt the other day. Because after the game, Matt's a massive Lord of the Rings fan. He's just got a new Lord of the Rings tattoo on his forearm.
That's hardcore.
After that game on Saturday, I was like, hey, man, that game was trash. Just so you know, on Sci-Fi Channel right now, Two Towers.
There you go.
So good. Lord of the Rings.
If you want to just cleanse the palate.
It's so good. It was Helm's Deep. It was everything. So that's what I did with my Saturday, and I hope Matt did as well. So shout out to our guy, Matt.
Well, we talk about Marvel a little bit. What about the new Hunger Games coming out? You into that?
My girlfriend loves Hunger Games, like read the books and has loved all the movies. Not so much, so I think I'm going to have to watch it anyway.
It looks good, though.
It looks decent. Like, and I didn't have a problem with like those movies in general. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't feel like, you know, it wasn't Twilight or something like that.
Right.
Like, it was actually enjoyable and, like, I enjoyed the content.
Yeah. I mean, how many, what kind of sci-fi movies or shows aren't from, and I don't even know what's considered quote unquote sci-fi, but you know, fantasy, whatever you want. What isn't from a book these days?
Game of Thrones. Well, no, Game of Thrones even was too. What am I talking about? That completely was based off of a book.
Well, like everything. Really nothing, like Blade Runner is based off a book. Like every
Maze Runner was a book.
Star Wars
as well.
Wasn't.
Right,
Indiana
Star
Jones
Wars.
Wasn't.
But I'm saying nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays we're in a different world.
Nothing's original. There's just
no original thoughts anymore.
Especially sci-fi.
Period.
Sci-fi and comedy. Comedy you just don't see
comedy
anymore.
Comedy too, right.
Yeah.
So many actors have lost their jobs, essentially, because comedies don't exist anymore.
Man, that just made me sad.
Yeah, well, we talked about other certain movies when we were growing up, like Road Trip and American Pie. Movies like that.
Yeah, Drumline, we were talking about.
They just don't come out anymore.
Yeah, ATL's not
getting
made.
We're just going to remake something that was already made.
Yep.
Or we're going to find a book.
Yep.
We're going to find something about a book.
Pretty much. We're going to, all IP that's already there. That's pretty much all it is.
Yeah.
It's because, I mean, everything is like a 10 episode series on Netflix or something or whatever. Like, if you want to make a comedy, that's what it is. That's where it's at. So, especially pandemic, post-pandemic,
Yeah. Crazy. I did watch a comedy on Apple TV, and it was a bit different. I'm trying to see. I Seth Rogen, it was Platonic. Did you guys watch that?
No.
No.
No, I'm
kind of out on Seth Rogen.
Dude, did you watch the Pickle movie?
The Pickle movie?
Oh, my gosh.
You mean Sausage Party?
No. Shout out, I did just watch that the
that
other day.
That movie's
No, Seth Rogen horrible. Made this movie where... It's on HBO. It was during the pandemic. It was like essentially he's a pickle salesman.
What?
And it ended up being like, I think it might have been a PG or a PG-13 movie.
All right.
It was terrible.
Why did you think it wouldn't be?
Because I thought it was a troll. Like literally the previews are like Seth Rogen slinging pickles. And I was like, okay, clearly this is like Sausage Party where there's some inside joke. I'm going to watch it. And then it turns out that he
it really
turns
was.
It into a big troll movie like The Interview or something. But No, he just the entire movie played it. It's like Will Ferrell, I guess, had that movie where he did it
everything
completely in Spanish.
Casa de Mi Padre?
Yeah, and like I guess everyone was like, oh, this is a troll movie. Like, Will Ferrell speaking Spanish, it's going to be funny. And he just like straight lines it the entire time. And he's like, he actually just made it.
No, dude, that movie's funny.
Okay, maybe.
Well, he was on a Lifetime movie, Will Ferrell was.
Yeah, a Lifetime movie?
Yeah, a Lifetime movie, but he was serious.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
there was something like that where everyone thought it was going to be a comedy, and then he straight.
They're good movies.
Yeah, he just straight.
The American Pickle, or An American Pickle is the name.
I've never even heard of that.
It's on HBO. Like, and that's another thing. I was like, it's an HBO movie, so like HBO really doesn't put out misses. And it was Seth Rogen in the middle of the pandemic. Right. I was like, sign me up.
All
and
misses.
It was garbage.
No
it was
hits.
Absolutely garbage.
Wow. Wow. Well, hopefully these aren't
any
misses.
Yeah, I don't
here.
Even know how we got there, but
You got to get there sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
You know what I mean? Case of the Mondays.
Exactly.
Right? So here's the guy's name. Donovan Mitchell. Thoughts on Donovan Mitchell.
I don't know how we got there, but yeah, Donovan Mitchell. I'm not really a Donovan Mitchell guy. He's somebody who I like for, you know, like 35 to 36 minutes, and then it's like the last quarter, essentially, where he loses me because it's just a lot of Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if anyone watches any close games that Donovan Mitchell's involved in. He's not giving up the rock.
No.
And that's my biggest problem with him is just a little bit too much of a ball hog. And I don't know if he's stat hunting, but it feels like he thinks he's Jimmy Butler, where he thinks like, okay, people don't talk about me like how they talk about Ja or, you know, Steph Curry or anything like that, but I can elevate my game to that of all of those guys. And we've seen him do it in the playoffs. You know, he had that bubble series against the Nuggets where him and Jamal Murray were exchanging 50 pieces and stuff. So he's capable of doing it for sure. But a lot of times when he's not on fire, it's just a dude who looks a lot, frankly, like De'Aaron Fox looked the other night against Golden State in Sacramento, where he clearly doesn't trust any of his teammates, and he's putting too much weight on his shoulders. And I really don't like that about his game. I don't really think he passes the ball much, really at all, not even just in the fourth quarter. So he's a great scorer, but I think in terms of like, hey, let's build around Donovan Mitchell, I don't feel like that's a good goal.
Keegan Murray, I know we got to get to a break soon. Keegan Murray
has to be involved in the trade if it
was a name like that.
Yeah.
So Keegan Murray, Kevin Herter, picks, and Malik Monk for Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, no, that's a no for me. That's absolutely a no for me. Not to mention all the picks that would also have to be thrown in there.
That's
as well.
A no.
That's a no for me.
Here
that's
it is.
Absolutely a no for me.
Keegan Murray.
Yep.
Kevin Herter.
Yes, I hear you.
Malik Monk.
Yeah.
And a couple picks, because that's pretty. That's
so
pretty,
possibly.
That's pretty meaty right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's super meaty.
So let's. We got to get to a break now.
Hey, yo.
Two picks, only two.
Yeah.
Because you got Kevin Herter, Keegan Murray.
I don't know.
Malik Monk for Donovan Mitchell.
Mind you, Donovan Mitchell was traded for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 first round picks on top of Lauri Markkanen, Akpaji, and Colin Sexton. To get to Cleveland in the first place, it was 5 picks and 3
You have 2 legitimate starters, 1 a second year player, and Malik Monk, another young gun and a shooter, and Kevin Herter, and I would say 2 picks.
I would say no. I mean, I think that's somehow a case where probably both teams say no. Like I think Cleveland would say we had to give up 5 picks for this. We're not.
Cleveland is stuck, man.
I don't disagree, but you could argue the Kings are stuck in their own way as well.
Alex on the YouTube chat, that's a no for me, dog.
It's
Manny,
just too
legit, heck no.
It's too much. Again,
CK916, no to the no.
Hell no. To the no, no, no.
Nobody wants to do that?
That's just too much. It's too much.
If I take away someone, then it's not enough.
See, so my question with adding Donovan Mitchell, which also we have to trade Davion because there's no way we can have them both on the team, and I know we have to get to break here, but the problem is, what are you then? Like, you trade, okay, so you get rid of Keegan, you get rid of Kevin, you get rid of Malik Monk.
Right.
Well, now it's Donovan Mitchell, Sabonis, and Fox. That better win you a championship then, because you don't have any other moves. Who are the other trade chips you have
now,
that can get you something?
No, you go, okay, all right. So those are your 3. Those are your big 3. Got to get to a break, and we will talk about who else you would add when we get back. As Nate is saying, got to go, got to go. Clock, 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 clock.
Come on.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.